Welcome back to Upstate's Health and Con Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, you know, there's an excruciating sense of limbo that follows any significant medical tests, and it's nearly a universal experience for patients. But with new technology available and with a new law being proposed, whether patients should get their lab results before doctors do. With us this morning with some thoughts about the pros and cons of this new development is Dr. Robert Corona. He's the professor and chair of pathology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Corona. Thanks for coming in today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So more than that, just, you know, more, you know that more than most doctors will have the inside scoop on many crucial lab findings for patients before the patients. Tell us about what this new law is proposing.
So the new law proposes that any individual who desires to have their lab values directly revealed to them before a physician has the lab information will be able to do so. So they can call up and request results over the phone. As long as we can accurately identify them, we were required to give them the results over the phone. It's a proposed law. They're still asking for comments. And it hasn't been put into law, but there is a lot of concern because processes and policies will have to be changed. And individual laboratories have only 240 days to put these in place once the law is imposed.
So this law is not just New York State. This is a federal.
It's a federal law. It's a derivation of CLIA, which is a laboratory amendment law that happened in 1988, and HIPAA, which happened in 1996. HIPAA made an exemption for the privacy of laboratory values that labs did not have to release those to patients, but this would override that.
So let's just get clear what's happening currently, because I know now with the new opportunity with electronic medical records, there are many circumstances where patients can get information about some things through what we call a patient portal. Isn't that correct?
That's correct, and it varies state to state. There are presently seven states in the United States, including Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, where patients can get direct access. So essentially, this law is already in play for those states. There are seven states that allow patients to get direct access to care with permission, not access to care, access to laboratory values with permission from their physician. So if the physician calls the lab, allows it to be released directly to the patient, they can. But the rest of the states, it's a requirement that the information go through the physician before it gets to the patient. And the reason why this law has been put into play is there's interest in having patients have more accountability for their care. So if they want their cholesterol checked, they want their glucose checked, they don't necessarily have to go through their physician. That's been a barrier to them getting direct lab results. And another thing on a safety side, sometimes when a physician gets, you know, 20, 30 laboratory values a day in their office slips through the cracks. There have been biopsies that have been missed, and people have had cancers spread because they didn't get the results. So that's also part of the initiative to create this, to propose this new law.
So in a sense, it's making the patients more empowered in with regard to their own data and their own care.
Correct. So the emphasis on personalization of care, prevention, prediction, and accountability of your own care, this law goes in line with that.
But things like a CAT scan or an MRI, those kinds of things are not part of this law, am I correct?
No, this is just covered in laboratory information, not imaging or radiology. So
like a breast cancer biopsy, infertility issues, or any kind of genetic testing, all that? Give us some other examples.
Great examples. Anything that involves tissue, anything that involves fluid, so blood, urine, saliva, those are all considered under this proposed law.
So what are some of the cons? Obviously, the pros are clear. You'll be able to, without a doctor intervening in a more effective and efficient way, you can get your information. But where are the cons? What are some of the worries that this brings up?
Well, the cons are very similar to somebody getting on Google and Googling a disease state and looking at all the horrific stories that they might see. And it scares the heck out of patients. And without perspective of understanding that this is just one component of often diagnosing a disease, it can really have a significant impact on an individual patient. For instance, let's say you had a blood test for Huntington's disease, and you read it to be positive. You don't know whether it's a false positive or not. And for instance, people that that get this kind of information have an increased rate of suicide.
Really?
Yeah. So it's best to have somebody help understand and interpret the test. Pathologists often work closely with clinical physicians, internists, family physicians, OBGYN, psychiatrists, to help them understand the meaning of some of the tests. And there's so many new tests in the world of molecular biology and predicting disease states and genetic tests that it's very, very, very confusing.
Yeah, and also it's interesting because in both cases we're talking about the effect on the patient and the benefit to the patient. And in one case, we're reducing anxiety by them not perhaps having to wait as long for the results of a test, and or that they might not even get the results of the test, as you mentioned, where it could fall through the cracks. But on the other hand, we have this competitive type of anxiety that would grow from getting results that you really are not in a position to analyze or interpret.
That's right. So if you look at, for instance, the prostate-specific antigen blood test that is so controversial now, that there's a United States Task Force on Preventive Medicine that's saying we shouldn't do that because it creates...
That's the PSA.
Creates unnecessary biopsies. It's a bit simplistic to look at it that way. There's a lot of good that comes from that test, and there's less people that are found with advanced disease, for instance.
And so, people do die of prostate cancer. So this idea that you don't even need to figure out if someone has it is a little bogus.
Yeah, it's tough to doesn't settle well. It's counterintuitive, and I talked to some of the urology experts at this institution, and they have a better handle on it. But you know, I think that you're best off by communicating with your physician who looks at the big picture, not just the individual lab results. Individual lab results can be very misleading. So,
and there also, excuse me for interrupting you, there also can be false positives and false negatives.
That's correct. And so you have to understand the sensitivity and specificity of an individual test. If a test is highly, highly sensitive, but not very specific, it has a lot of false positives. And physicians are going to look deep into that data, where a patient may just look at the face value and not fully understand that if something's 50% specific, it's like flipping a coin. So you have to really understand the background of the test and how it operates and what the results mean in the big picture.
In the picture, along with all the other findings, there are other case-by-case issues, I would think, how that affects the individual patient.
That's correct. So let's say, for instance, you had a patient with a borderline high cholesterol. A physician would look at the borderline high cholesterol and then look at other factors. What's the inflammatory status of the blood system that the patient might have? So they'd be looking at other values, and they may choose not to treat a borderline high cholesterol.
Or family history, for that matter.
Family history, exactly. But if they did look and they see that they have high inflammatory markers in the bloodstream, couple that with high cholesterol, then they would treat.
So I hear you really weighing in on the side of an expert interpretation rather than this pure kind of release of data. I mean, if I were to ask you to take a stand.
Yeah, I would say that there are some bits of laboratory data that can be released to patients directly. But I think we have to look at each individual test and what it might mean and how the patient might react. It's troublesome to think that, all laboratory data be released and that the patients are going to be left to interpret those data for themselves.
And also it would seem like it would change a lot of how the physician would, in any case, be responsible for educating patients about the data should the data come through them. But even more so would have to kind of spend a tremendous amount of time educating his or her patients to understand what they're looking at, should they just willy-nilly go online and look at their results.
Right. And they're doing a lot of that education now. It's very common. Physicians will tell you, for patients to come in with printed sheets off the internet, and they probably know as much about the disease as the physician does, especially if it's some esoteric disease. And so I think we're going to have to work together the laboratories are going to have to work together with the physicians, that when the data is released to the patient, if this law goes into play, that we need to contact the physician and let them know your patient's now been informed that, you know, they have a breast biopsy that has a borderline cancer diagnosis. You know, here are the options for communication, and the laboratory will have to help educate the patients.
I guess that's the question. Will it fall? If the law, first of all, what's your sense? Do you think this the law will go into effect?
I do. I really do. It seems to be going that way. The consumer-oriented healthcare is driving this, and it's tough to push back on that.
Okay, so if it does go into effect, how exactly, you just alluded to how that might affect the way the laboratory functions. In other words, are you suggesting it will become the laboratory's responsibility in that sense to become an intermediary and reach out to the doctor?
I think so. The lab's going to have a significant responsibility. We're going to have to educate our technical people on how to present data to individual patients. We've already had patients call our laboratory and say, I want the results of my breast biopsy. And we've told them about the law. We told them that in New York State, we have to report to the physician first. And that frustrates them. So we're going to have to get better and have policies and processes in place to educate the patients and try not to alarm them, and then inform the physicians and help the physicians, the primary care physicians who are caring for these patients, to educate the patients.
I guess the question is, do you think it's almost shifting the responsibility then from the physician to be the interpreter to the lab to being the interpreter in a sense, because they'll be the first line of defense. I mean, do you feel that the people who are doing these tests are equipped to do
no,
that
I don't think
kind
the people, the technical people, the medical technologists that are doing the tests will be communicating the laboratory results.
So who will be doing
it? It may
that?
Be the pathologists who do a lot
like
of the
yourself.
Interpretation now and communicate with the physician that's primarily responsible for the care of the patient. So it's going to be a change in the way we do work, and not entirely sure how it's going to play out.
How much more additional pressure will that place on you and your colleagues? Or do you feel that it's an additional pressure?
I think it'll be an additional pressure. You know, there are some people in certain specialties that if they're not used to direct patient care, it may be a bit awkward for them to communicate with patients directly. They don't know the patient like the primary care physician. And there's a lot to be said for a primary care physician knowing the whole patient. And so we're just getting a little snippet of data and trying to, you know, help the patient understand. But I think a pathologist may give an interesting perspective to the patient.
In what way? I'm curious as to what you think.
Well, for instance, you know, I've talked before about digital pathology and what we're going to be doing here at Upstate. But if we're able to show images to patients, so say somebody does have a breast biopsy, and we can sit down with them and say, you need to go over what the therapy is going to be with your physician, but here is your biopsy. Here's a picture of it. And you can see that all the cancer has been removed. You can see here's the margin of where the surgeon cut, and there's no cancer at the margin. So I think that will be very powerful to a patient, that image that the cancer's out of my body.
Well, that is very powerful and very strong, you know, clearly a strong reason why things like the imaging are going to have a huge impact for both patients, as you said, and physicians and everyone. So that whole digital pathology stuff is really exciting. I guess in the very little time we have left, how do your colleagues feel about all this?
It's a mixed bag. Some of my colleagues who are interested in patient communication find it stimulating to be able to talk to patients, and others who went into pathology to avoid direct patient care.
They're up against the wall.
Yeah, they're a little bit frustrated. But the nice thing is, I think everybody would agree, no anxiety, less anxiety.
For everyone, avoiding. Hopefully. Well, thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Robert Corona, professor and chair of pathology at Upstate Medical University. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more Health Link on Air.